Inside, reshaping work on WOSU Public Media is made possible in part by Aspire and powered by the Storytellers Trust.
You're listening to Untangled from All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Untangled is a show where we take a complicated topic and untangle it for you, explain it in a way that's easier to understand. This season, we are tackling work. A strategic plan that looks at the workers of tomorrow will probably ensure the right people are in the right positions at the right time. But how do you plan for tomorrow when technology is changing so rapidly? From AI to automation, there are lots of concerns about what the future will look like and how we prepare for it. To discuss some of the ways the state of Ohio is looking ahead and planning for the workers of tomorrow, we have Matt Damschroeder, director of the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. Welcome to All Sides, Matt.
Thanks very much.
So the last few times we've talked to you, it's been about the family services part of your job, right? So I want to talk about the other half of your title. That's the job part. When you think about how Ohio is positioned for the future of work, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I would say there's two things that come to mind. One is that we're doing great, and there's all kinds of things that are going on in Ohio from an economic standpoint. And I think the other part that comes to mind is ready for the future. And so I think, you know, as Governor DeWine talks about Ohio being a great place to live and raise a family and have a career, all of the things line up here for the future economically and from a labor perspective.
So the governor's Office of Workforce Transformation is working on what it calls its top jobs list, which you could also probably call an in-demand jobs list, just from me looking at it. So when I looked at it, the top job with the most demand didn't have anything to do with AI. It was home health and personal care aides. So this is the place with the most job openings, but it doesn't pay well. The median salary was $31,000. Why are we have such a need for home health and personal care aides? Why is this the top job?
Well, not too surprisingly, healthcare as a sector is one of the biggest industries, not only in Ohio, but also around the country. And as individuals continue to age, as we continue to have new and exciting technologies and medicines, all of those things just create more and more demand for jobs in that sector. So there's always going to be growth and opportunities in healthcare.
Well, and I was seeing from your spreadsheet, it shows there are 16,000 openings in home health for home health aides. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's absolutely a lot. And again, when you look at the entire sector, there's all kinds of opportunities available. And I think it's important to think about when we do these things. It's also just like there's lots of jobs available. There's also a whole spectrum of skills from things that are easy to get into with limited training, like phlebotomy, to something that requires, you know, a two or four year degree or even advanced training. So lots of opportunities in Ohio in that space.
So with the lots of opportunities, I mean, 16,000 openings, but unfortunately, the median salary I said is $31,000. How do we fill these positions? How do we pay more? How do we make these jobs more attractive?
Well, I think one of the things that we do, particularly for young people, is with our pre-apprenticeship program to give them an opportunity to kind of experience, kind of test before you drive, a career opportunity, and see if it's something that's right for them. And so there's lots of ways to do that. But for us, with our registered pre-apprenticeship program, that's really a great way especially for young people to do it. For folks in other places in their career pathways, there's lots of opportunities through the Ohio Means Job Centers to get training and those kinds of things to get into a career. And I think one of the great things about healthcare in particular is even if a person comes in at a lower skilled position and they're at kind of that median wage, there's all kinds of opportunities to progress up through a career in healthcare. So even if you come in at an entry level, there's lots of opportunities to progress within the system.
Another top job on your website was truck drivers, more than 10,000 openings, median salary higher, $58,000. Tell me about the need for more truck drivers.
Yeah, transportation and logistics is a growing thing. I think as you know, whether it's traditional bricks and mortar retail or things that come to your house multiple times a day, or just the moving of things around the country, there's lots of opportunities in that space. And so, you know, there's also for folks Who want the opportunity to be self-employed. Trucking is a great opportunity. The other thing that's for Ohio in that space is with our energy sector, particularly in eastern Ohio, there's lots of need for folks to drive gas and all of the types of things that are needed for energy production around the state. And so it's not just goods that are being transported. It's a lot of the other materials that go into the manufacturing of goods across the space.
So the future of AI, understanding new technologies, coding, all these jobs get all of the buzz, all the attention. I feel like the AI is everything and it gets all of the media attention. But what Ohio needs is home health aides and truck drivers. I mean, am I oversimplifying that?
Well, I think one of the things that we try to do with the in-demand jobs list is to show that there's, it's not just those things that, mm-hmm. that are on the news every hour as kind of the future. It's really the full list of the labor force, that there's something really for everybody. And I think that's one of the important messages, both with Apprenticeship Week and with In-Demand Jobs Week, is to say, you have the opportunity here in Ohio to have a great career and create a great life for yourself. And it's not just AI. There's lots of other things. There's manufacturing in ways that we didn't think about before. There's skilled trades. There's education. There's medicine, healthcare, and all those things. And so really getting people to look at all of the things that are available to them right here in Ohio is part of the focus of what we do with In-Demand Jobs Week.
Yeah. So the In-Demand Jobs also showed 3,000 openings for software developers. And that had a median salary at a whopping $108,000. I mean, that's great. So so when you look at this list of in-demand jobs and the needs for the future, are there state dollars out there to help with recruitment? How do you, you can make this pretty spreadsheet and have this website and call it In-Demand Jobs Week, but how do you tell people about it?
Yeah, so we appreciate you highlighting it here at WSU. And so part of what we do with the In-Demand Jobs list is this kind of gives the guide to our regional workforce boards around the state for when somebody comes into their local Ohio Means Jobs Center or accesses ohiomeansjobs.com and can access funding for additional skills and training. We use this as kind of the guide of this is where we want folks to invest those federal and state dollars, workforce dollars, into these types of jobs first before they do something else. And so when somebody goes into their Ohio Means Jobs, their Ohio Means Jobs Center and have a conversation with an employment professional or someone else, they're going to be looking through these kind of things and say, what might be a good fit both from you for you for what you do, what you have done, and what your existing skills base is.
Every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.
This is Untangled from All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. And this show is a part of WOSU Public Media's project, Inside Reshaping Work. We're talking with Matt Damschroeder, director of the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. Something I came across in researching for this show was what Ohio is calling Apprenticeship Week. You already mentioned it. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to turn the spotlight on Ohio's apprenticeship program. Tell me, what are these apprenticeships and how do you find one?
Apprenticeships are a great opportunity for anyone to learn while they earn in any career. And so one of the things that we're trying to especially spotlight around apprenticeships is that, when people think about apprenticeships, often they think about the skilled trades. And certainly here in Columbus, IBEW over on Goodale, the Carpenters and Millwrights over on the west side have great facilities that are training lots of folks for those skilled trades, not just for now, but for the future. But there's really opportunities in any sector for an apprenticeship program. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's manufacturing, whether it's healthcare, all of those types of things have apprenticeship opportunities. In fact, the most recent one that we just finished registering in the Youngstown area is around drone piloting. And so there's all kinds of opportunities for apprenticeships. And really, Ohio is a leader in this space and has been for a number of years. We have the third most apprenticeships in the country, the number one in the Midwest. And so there's over about 25,000 Ohioans currently enrolled in one of over 200 occupations with an apprenticeship in Ohio.
So an apprenticeship as opposed to an internship. An internship would be for a student who's either in high school or college who's still learning, but an apprenticeship is for someone and they're learning on the job and they're earning money, correct?
That's right. And the apprenticeship program is a formalized approach to that. Mm-hmm. So in order to be a registered apprenticeship, an employer, group of employers, or a labor union has to follow some certain federal and state requirements around safety, minimum number of hours, making sure there's an adequate amount of both in-classroom training and on the job hands-on training in order to be registered. One of the benefits of that registration is it's transferable and recognized in other states as well. And so mm-hmm. with that formalized process, you're getting a certificate essentially that says you are capable of doing this set of skills no matter where you're at.
And I was looking at your apprenticeship dashboard that you have on your website. It looks like most of them are in construction. There were 26,000 active apprenticeships. 18,000 of them were in construction, with 7,000 of those being electricians. I mean, is there any way to connect apprenticeships to those in-demand jobs we were just talking about? Can you have an apprenticeship for a home health worker or a truck driver?
You can. And a lot of our employers and employer groups are starting to turn to this formal apprenticeship program as a way to both recruit individuals into their workforce and also kind of create a career pipeline for them. One of the things that we find is individuals who are participating in a formalized apprenticeship program have a much higher rate of retention with their employer. And so that's one of the many things that why employers are looking at this. You know, I think one of the things, Ohio is a manufacturing hub. And a lot of the great things that we have coming in the future, whether it's Anduril down in Pickaway County, semiconductors, all of those kinds of things from a manufacturing standpoint, a lot of employers are looking to how do we come together with the Ohio Manufacturing Association and others to create these formalized processes so that folks can get into manufacturing and not view it as, oh, this dirty, unsafe thing of maybe years ago, but really have apprenticeship be a pipeline for those very important and in-demand jobs.
And your dashboard, I mean, is very open, right? So it showed that 26,000 active apprenticeships, and it showed that only 7% were women, and 16.7% were people of color. So that makes me think that the state has done needs to do more work in letting everyone know about these apprenticeships. I mean, why so few women? Is that because most of them are in construction?
Well, I think some of those things are definitely legacy components of apprenticeships being primarily in the past a skilled trades type of thing. And I think all of the skilled trades, both union and non-union, have done a good job in recent years of reaching out both to women and to people of color to join their unions, to join their trades. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's growing, and it'll take time, but that is continuing to grow. And so I think really, as we look at with pre-apprenticeships and that approach, getting into high schools, middle schools, colleges, making sure that people understand that an apprenticeship is a great way to get into an important job, a job that you can have a great career and raise a family, that it's for everybody. And so, those are some of the things that we do as a state agency is to promote that to everyone.
Are you looking to expand the apprenticeships? I mean, you said that we have that Ohio has one of the most active and biggest programs. I mean, what are you looking to expand it to? Do you want more companies involved?
We want two things. We want more people to sign up to become apprentices, and then we want to find more employers who will create apprenticeships. Mm-hmm. Again, I think employers have kind of thought of this as a skilled trades thing in the past, but really anything, any type of work can be apprenticeable. Mm-hmm. I was down in Southern Ohio last year, and with some of their high schools and their workforce boards, created an apprenticeship program for the local car dealer for folks to come into the mechanic program. Mm. And so, anything that really any employer does has a potential for an apprenticeship component.
And does the state of Ohio help the employers with any of the money, or is the employer paying for the apprenticeship?
So the employer is paying for the apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. We'll help them complete all the paperwork that's necessary in order to become registered with us and the U.S. Department of Labor. give them all the guidelines around the minimum number of hours for the in-class, minimum number of hours for the hands-on. In cases where the type of work may not line up exactly with the minimum number of, mm-hmm. of hour requirements, we can work with them to submit a waiver that's competency-based so that those industry credentials are achieved through the training program. But really, we want to work with employers to help them create opportunities to build apprenticeships here in Ohio so more people can become involved.
We've been talking about in-demand jobs and apprenticeships in Ohio with Matt Dam Schroeder, Director of the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. Thanks for your time today.
You got it. My pleasure.
And this is Untangled, reshaping work from all sides in WOSU. Be sure to subscribe to the Untangled podcast so you don't miss an episode. Next time, we're going to talk about the role of the immigrant workforce in Ohio. For Untangled and All Sides, I'm Amy Jurevich.
Inside, reshaping work on WOSU Public Media is made possible in part by Aspire and powered by the Storytellers Trust.